Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God demonstrated His own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for your sins and the sins of the world. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again, that you might have life and life eternal. And there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Jesus is the only way. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the bread of life. He says that I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. And He goes on to say that if you don't believe that I am who I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. But if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you can be saved right here, right now. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You can have a brand new start. You can have a clean slate. You can make all things new when you open up your heart to Jesus Christ. Listen, this is the gospel message. This is what we have to offer, church. This is what we have to give. And it can change somebody's life. It will intercept their destiny and give them hope. And that's why you're a Christian, is to share that good news. And so the Lord's talking to us about this. And He's telling us that He needs us to take a stand and have a voice for this message. That it's not a time to be silent. It's not a time to fall into that spirituality that we would call interfaith, that says all roads lead to heaven. All religions will lead to heaven. This watered down gospel, which is a doctrine of demons, says that, well, Jesus is a way, but He's not the only way. And that's a lie. And so what's happening right now is that there is an anointing that the Lord is releasing upon His children. It's a fresh anointing. It's an anointing for the season we're living in, the year we're living in, the days we're living in, and it's an anointing of influence. There is an evangelistic anointing being released upon the children of God, and I sense it very strong here. Not everyone's called to be an evangelist, but we're all called to evangelism. And the Lord said, I need you to make a stand. I need you to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's releasing this anointing. It's a boldness to come over us, that we would not be silent and we wouldn't cower back if there's persecution or if it causes division, because when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll bring tension. It can cause relationships to sever, even in your own family, because you'll be sold out and others will say, you're whack. You're narrow-minded. You know what I say? Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few are those who find it. Amen? And so there's something that's happening in the Spirit, and God is releasing an anointing upon us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what you have to offer. It's free. Doesn't cost any money. It's going to cost you some time. It may cost you some persecution. Some people say that when you follow Jesus, persecution will follow you. Kind of comes with the territory. But we're not going out as martyrs. You know, I'm going to go be a martyr for Jesus. I don't think any of us wants to do that. But it may cost us some relationships. It may make some enemies. And it doesn't mean that we're going to go and preach the gospel. We're not to be rude. We're not to be angry. We're not to be rash. You know, everything that we do has to be sprinkled with love, and the fruits of the Spirit need to be behind it. And so the Lord's telling us that I need you to get a fresh infilling of the Spirit. All right, how many of you know that just because maybe you were baptized in the Holy Spirit once and spoke in tongues, that that doesn't mean that you're going to be Spirit-filled the rest of your life? Because the level of this Holy Spirit in a believer's life can fade. It can evaporate. And we can find ourselves empty and without courage and without confidence. And so the Lord is saying, I'm pouring out a fresh anointing. There is a refilling of my Holy Spirit that I want to give to you to be able to do what I've called you to do, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we recognize we need that. Amen. So last week I shared with you a little bit, how do we keep our spiritual tanks full? And we talked about identifying your filling stations, and you can go back and listen to that podcast if you want, because there's certain things that we need to do to keep our tank full. We need our spiritual tanks. Carlton said it. We need to have our spiritual tanks full. So then when we get bumped, what spills out is good stuff. Not curse words, not anger or retaliation, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ coming off your lips has the power to save. It has the power to intercept somebody's eternal destiny, church. This is your mission. It's outside the walls of this church. They come here to get discipled. But the Lord's calling you to tell people about Jesus. We looked at John chapter 12, where Jesus says, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself. Remember that? And he was talking about the cross. If I'm lifted up on the cross from the earth, I'll draw all peoples to myself. And so the Lord spoke very clearly to us, make much of the cross. Yeah. When you see someone with a cross necklace or a cross tattoo or a cross earrings or a cross ring on their finger, when you see the cross, the Lord said, allow that to stir up conversation about me, about what I did for them on the cross. Amen? And so listen, this is what we're called to do, but it's not always easy, is it? I mean, right when we get up to it, we're recognizing that, man, here's an opportunity. Man, sometimes we cower back, and the Lord is saying the reason that happens is because you're not full of the Spirit the way I need you to be. And so last week, we looked at Acts chapter 4. And remember this, Peter and John, they were actually put into custody for preaching the gospel. But before they were put into custody, 5,000 men came into the kingdom. Yes. Yeah, the message of the gospel coming off your lips and my lips has the power to save. And so they put Peter and John into custody, and they're severely threatening them and saying, don't you ever speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And it was a threat, a severe threat. These are the same people that crucified Jesus. And so whenever there was a stir about Jesus, these religious leaders would try to shut it down. So when Peter and John got arrested for preaching the gospel, it wasn't just a little slap. It was like, what's going to happen? What could happen? And they said, don't you dare, it says they severely threatened him, don't you ever speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, well, whether it's right to obey God or man, you be the judge. But we cannot but speak of the things we've heard and seen. We can't stop talking about Jesus. And so they had healed this lame beggar, and this man had never walked, you know, so that lame beggar was standing with Peter and John. And because all of the crowds and all of the people that got saved from the preaching of the gospel, these religious leaders threatened him again and let him go because it was obvious that a miracle had taken place. But they severely threatened him. And they said, don't you talk about Jesus. And so when they let him go, Peter and John, they went back to their own companions. You know what they did? They went to church. They went to the local church. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay connected to the local church. Yeah. They went back to their own companions and they, you know, started telling them about all these things that happened, and then they prayed together, and that brings us to where we were last week, but I want to start there today. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. So they're gathering together after all these things, and they say, now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. This is our prayer. This is my prayer for you. This is our prayer. Lord, give us great boldness to preach your word. Listen, in this hour, when Satan wants to severely threaten you and shut your mouth from telling people about Jesus, when there's a cowering, the Lord says, I need you to pray for boldness. And so they were praying for this boldness. They said, give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. And listen to this. Stretch out your hand with healing power. We need this. Listen, we need to expect that when we lead people to Jesus or we pray for somebody, we need to expect that the power of God can heal people today of their sickness, of their disease, of their heartbreak. They said, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, church, the Holy Spirit is pouring out a fresh anointing for these things to take place through you. Yeah. And we need to be expecting it. This is what the Holy Spirit does. There's signs, wonders, and miracles. And listen, we're after those things. But man, our thing, preach the gospel and let these things follow. Amen. He goes on in verse 31, they say, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pause there. It says, after this prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we know that they are already filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. We know that. They were already filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a refilling right here. And this is what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about refills. And this is what he's saying to us as believers, that man, don't just settle for your past testimony or the past anointing. There's a refill that I want to refresh you with my spirit. For every person you cross paths with, there's a fresh infilling of my spirit to give you the boldness to bring healing, salvation, and deliverance. Amen. To intercept somebody's eternal destiny, church. Yes. Yeah. And so it says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, everyone say then. Amen. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Listen, after this prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then. Then what did they do? They spoke the word of God or preached the word of God with boldness. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, turn to your neighbor and say, we need a fresh infilling. Yeah. And this is what the Lord is saying to us, church. He's saying, this is available to you right now. This is available. This is what the Lord's trying to get across. He's saying, there is a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit that's going to give you the boldness to be what you need to be. And listen, this is a Holy Spirit-infused boldness that only the Holy Spirit can give. And so the Lord said, man, you don't have to go out on your own and do this. There's something that the Lord is grabbing our attention. He's saying, God, ask for this. You need this. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Not just a one-time experience in the past, but an everyday thing where every day I'm going to my filling station. Every day I'm finding, man, what do I need to do to stay full of the Holy Spirit so I have the boldness to change someone's destiny? And know that God's speaking to me and said, man, go reach that person. Go reach out for him. Come on. This is your assignment. This is our mission, church. And it has an eternal impact. Amen? We need a great boldness to preach the word. Pray this with me. Say, now, Lord, give us Your servants at LWC. Great boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hands with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let it be done, Lord. Now shoot up your hands and say, fill me afresh. Yeah, come on now, give them some praise for that. Listen, you matter. Listen, you are living on this earth at this time with purpose and for a purpose. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you matter. You matter. You have a voice and you have a story, and it's your story. And your story has really no value until Jesus comes into that story. Your story may encourage somebody for a day or two, but when your story is attached to Jesus, it'll change their eternal destiny. And so the Lord said, I need you to be thinking kingdom-minded. I need you to think eternally. I want you to think beyond this life and realize that your run-in with somebody, you crossing the path with somebody, can change their eternal destiny so that they can be with Jesus forever. Come on, how many are you thankful you have loved ones that died that know Jesus before they went? Come on, give them some praise for that. Because listen, we don't grieve as the world grieves. We grieve because we miss them. Oh, but we get to see them again. And that's what we want for everybody. Amen? We need a great boldness to preach the word. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6. Paul's teaching about the whole armor of God, all right? Beginning in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you, everyone say you, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day or the days of evil. Listen, that you may be able to withstand. Who?
You.
You. That you stand. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You. And so a lot of times we'll say, Lord, take care of this for me. And the Lord says, I've given you authority to do that.
Yes.
You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But a lot of times we go to the Lord and we're saying, Lord, take care of this. Do my battles for me. And the Lord says, I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. I've given you authority over all the power of the devil. It's time for you to stand in the power of my spirit. You withstand the devil. You withstand the things that are going on in the world that you know are all jacked up. You make a stand. You make a stand. I'm not going to get into the teaching of this armor. I want to get somewhere. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having. In other words, you've already done this.
Yes.
Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Listen, taking on the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Yeah, you realize that you have it in you to quench the fiery darts. Yeah, those fiery darts that Satan's shooting at your heart or in your mind, causing you to feel guilty and full of shame and hopeless and disqualified. They're fiery darts that will cause you to think, man, I can't share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not even living right. It's a fiery dart to shut you up and to shut me up. And the Lord says, man, you have the shield of faith. You can quench those fiery darts. And how do we do it? Man, we just start saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess my sins, Lord. I know I'm not walking the way I probably could, but I thank you that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse. As long as I confess, I can be clean. I can walk in the confidence of the cross all the time. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. And we confess our sins and we get right back on track. We're pulling them fiery darts of condemnation and guilt and shame and disqualification. Listen, we can pull those darts out of our own heart, but you know what? You preach the gospel and you start pulling the darts out of someone else's heart. Letting them know, man, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You can have a brand new start right now, regardless of how badly you messed up. This is the good news of the gospel, amen? He says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now watch this, and for me. So look at this. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all the saints and for me. Pray for all the saints and pray for me. Pray for what? That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's what we want. Amen. Come on, pray with me. Say, Lord, give me the boldness to open my mouth, to make known the mystery, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help me to speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yeah. See, Paul was praying for that. Peter and John were praying for that. We're praying for it. That's what we need. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. And notice this. Paul said, pray for us. He didn't say, pray for our programs. He didn't say, pray for our projects. He said, pray for our preaching. Pray for our preaching, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. So listen, earlier this year in May, just prior to Gail and I taking a little time off on our 31st wedding anniversary, I was feeling this pressure on me to do more. I was in this headspace, and it was unhealthy, an unhealthy headspace that was driving me to do more works. It was right before Gail and I's break. And I begin to think things like, man, I need to bring more programs to LWC. I need to produce more opportunities for fellowship so that we can gather, because we're saying, where are the people? I need to do more. And this headspace, man, I started comparing myself to other ministers, comparing myself to other ministries. I started comparing our church to other churches. This was an unhealthy, unreasonable, and untrue mindset. It wasn't right that I was thinking these things, because God assigned me to do something. So listen, on Tuesday, it was May 23rd, I opened up to our daily New Testament Bible reading plan, and I opened up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 1 caught me. Because I was comparing. How many know comparing is never a good thing? Listen, this is what was going on with me. I was comparing myself to other ministers, and I'll tell you why. Because I was having an identity crisis. If I'm confident in what God has called me to do, and I walk in that confidence, I don't have to compare. But I was being driven by this works mentality. I got to do more. I got to add more programs. We got to do something to bring fellowship and bring people together. And I was driven in this thing, and I woke up on May 23rd, and I opened up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. And it said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. Oh, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, not you run swiftly, Vic. You don't have to run swiftly. I need my word to run swiftly. And so what's happening in that moment, I felt that the Lord was reeling me back in to the peace of staying true to my assignment. He says, you just preach the word, Vic. You just preach the word. And so I wrote this down in my journal, and I'll read it to you. This was on May 23rd. The Lord is saying to me, if you're pushing for attendance, you'll be driven by special events, programs, and productions. This is a personal word to me. But if you simply preach Jesus, I'll embrace those who come to me I'll tap them on the shoulder and they'll naturally gather. They will naturally get involved. The Lord says, stay true to your assignment by staying true to the Word. The Word of God will bring organic growth. The Lord says, if you're striving, you're missing the mark. Just preach the Word. That's my lane. That's my lane. And the Lord says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw peoples to myself. Amen. So right after I heard the Lord say, preach the word, man, 2 Timothy chapter 4 came in. This is all in my journal. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, he's telling me, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in time, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with long-suffering and teaching. So you need to understand, when Gail and I got back from our vacation, this is my assignment, and I've been free. You know, and look around. What's going on? The word of the Lord is running swiftly, and we're seeing some fruit. And it's not a marketing campaign. You know, I mean, we're upgrading our look, which is important, right? We don't want to be slums. But I'm telling you, it's the Word of God that does this. He says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Look at verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. This is it. Do the work of an evangelist. Do you know that's how I came into Michigan City? I was a street preacher from California when I came through this town. He says, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Yeah, and so then we come full circle to John chapter 12, you know, verse 32, where Jesus says, if I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all peoples to myself. So listen, there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life right now to evangelize. It's from the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, it is an anointing of influence. People are going to want to hear what you have to say, and I want you to look for it. They're going to lean into what you have to say because there's an anointing that's going to grab hold of their attention. And you have a message to share. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 7. I'm going to go through these really quick. Look at this. Look what happened in the early church. Acts 6, verse 7. The word of God spread. That's what we want. It's got to spread beyond the walls of this church. That's where you come in. Wherever you go to work, wherever you shop, wherever you get gas, wherever you're going to go to lunch after church today, man, the waitress or the server comes up and says, hey, you know, can I take your order? They bring the food. Can I tell you? Do this. Listen, we're getting ready to pray over the meal. Can we pray for you today? Listen, 99.9% of the time, they'll open up and say, please. And they might say, my grandma's doing this. We prayed with Ernie and Sharon not too long ago. And this girl, she was, and it was Roger and Kim Sharkey too. We went out to lunch not too long ago. This was this lady's last day before she was going in for surgery, and she was going to go under anesthesia, and she was scared she wasn't going to wake up. And we were able to pray for her. Yeah. It says, the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 24. The word of God grew and multiplied. What grew? My assignment is to get the word of God on you, and the Holy Spirit is going to empower you so the word of God can grow and multiply through you wherever you go. Come on, do you understand that this is our foundation? We can't wander away from this. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The word of the God, word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Listen, this is what's happening. So listen, You fill yourself up with the Word. You come to church and you get filled with the Word of God and you get inspired and you go out and you begin to do things. I'm going to tell you, we won't be able to keep people away because it's the Word of God that brings life. Amen. And it will not return void. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Listen, when you're preaching the Word of God and it's coming out of your mouth, listen, those are God's words coming out of your mouth. They have the same power when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's the same power. It has the same creative power. That's why you can lay hands on someone that's ill and say, "In the name of Jesus, I command this disease to go in Jesus' name," and let Jesus do what he's going to do. You don't have to worry about whether the healing doesn't happen immediately. But there's a boldness that says, "Wait a minute. My God can intercept this by the power of his Spirit and turn your situation around." So when Jesus told us the Great Commission in Mark 16:15, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Listen, these signs will follow those who believe. Yes. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink anything deadly, it won't harm them. They'll take up serpents that won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Listen, pray this with me, would you? Let's stand to our feet. We'll close with this. Come on, I want you to pray this with me. And listen, after we pray for this, I want you to break into 30 seconds of praise. Because God's going to do it. Amen. Pray this to me. Put up your hands. Say, "Lord, give us your servants at LWC great boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power, Lord. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Come on, let it be done, Lord. Give them some praise. 30 seconds of praise. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. We're going after it. Come on, church. Come on. Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, there it goes again. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Go ahead. It's good. Yeah. We cannot help but to speak of the things we've seen and heard. Listen. There is a testimony waiting for you when you leave here today. There's somebody that's waiting. They don't even know who they're waiting for. But they're a testimony in the making. And the Lord's saying, I have someone you to meet today. I have someone for you to meet this week. Listen, will you keep your eyes open for the handle to the door of their heart where you can open up a conversation about Jesus? Everybody you talk to, just look for, man, where's the avenue where I can tell someone about Jesus? Amen. You lift up the name. There's no other name above that name. Amen. Woo, I love you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.